sports channel debuted on your TV in the last week. It is called Fox Sports One. And on Monday, a new afternoon sports panel show debuted on Fox Sports One. It's called The Crowd Goes Wild. It features Georgie Thompson, British broadcaster, Trevor Price, a guy who's got a couple of Super Bowl rings from his years with the Broncos, comedian Michael Costa, Katie Nolan, broadcast legend Regis Philbin, and my next guest, Jason Gay, who's a sports writer for the Wall Street Journal and now one of the best dressed guys on the set each afternoon. Jason, welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you. Listen, are you really saying best dressed? Because if that's true, that is the greatest compliment I've ever received on any kind of program. So thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome.
If nothing else, I'm going to try to dress well.
Well, I actually think that Trevor is the best dressed guy on there. I'm sorry to give you that body shot.
We have a little competition going on between the two of us, Trevor and I. So you picked up on something that is special to the show. Trevor and I's little intramural fashion competition every day on Crowd Goes Wild.
Yeah. I got to say, this guy, I had not known him before. He's really surprising me. He's a terrific broadcaster.
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, Trevor, I think, you know, they have the Dos Equis beer commercials. Trevor is truly the most interesting man in the world. He is a guy who, you know, has an interesting background. His sister played for the United States Women's National Soccer Team. His parents were huge soccer fans. He has a huge background in European sport. His kids are massive tennis players. Trevor's kind of a tennis dad on the side, training his kids for potentially playing collegiate or pro tennis. He can talk about a range of things. You know, obviously he has the NFL background, 2 Super Bowls, 14 seasons in the NFL, but the guy can talk about virtually anything. I think there's nothing like him on TV.
Okay, he has the professional athlete perspective. You have the professional sports writer perspective. Georgie has the professional sports broadcaster perspective. What's Regis doing on the show?
What's Regis doing on the show? Well, let me give you a little bit of background on my relationship with Regis going into this show, which was 2 years ago when he left his famous Live with Regis and Kelly show. I went down to Florida where he was, you know, not retired, but kind of just hanging out and played tennis with him. And we started talking sports, and, you know, people who follow college football know Regis to be a wild follower of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish and somebody who follows college football quite closely and has remarkable stories of interviewing all the Notre Dame greats going back to the Frank Leahy days. And, you know, we just kept in touch about the world of sports, and then when this thing started to come up, he said, well, you know, maybe you should come on and, you know, be a guest every once in a while. And I thought that that's truly what it was. It was going to be, I'd show up and they'd give me a Diet Coke and tell me to go home after 3.5 minutes, but no, it became this, and Regis really does have passion for sports. Of course, being in New York, he's a Yankee nut, but he can talk about a lot of different things. And, you know, the thing that I love about Regis is that there's just so much goodwill towards the guy. He has more hours of live television than anybody in the history of television.
Yep.
Everyone knows him, and there's just, you know, this great love for Regis of every age range. And you know, Georgie and I had the funny experience a couple weeks ago. We walked through an airport with him, and it was really funny to see how the range of people who came up and talked to him and wanted to get an autograph or a picture or something like that. Everybody loves Regis, and it's been a real a privilege to learn a little bit under him.
Yep, I'm one of those who loves him. He's been on my show many times over the years, and I consider him America's greatest living broadcaster.
That's great. I will pass that on. I'm a little sad that I'm not America's living greatest broadcaster after 1 week on the air, but I appreciate that.
Well, after you get about 15,000 more weeks under your belt, we'll talk.
It's about 18,000 hours Regis has. I mean, that's like, you know, that's like, I don't know, DiMaggio's 56. I don't know if that'll ever go down.
Let me ask you about a couple of sports things, since I'm sure you talked about them on your show this week. One of them actually has to do with your Fox Sports 1 competition, ESPN, who pulled out of a project that they were doing with Frontline on PBS about concussions, a special that's going to air on that show in October. Apparently, ESPN got some pressure from the NFL and pulled out of this thing. What do you think of this story?
Well, you know, I saw a few of the reports yesterday, and to be totally honest with you, I'm not totally caught up to date. I did see both notations from both ESPN and the NFL saying that the version of the story that was out there in terms of that sort of reaction to pressure wasn't necessarily true, both the NFL and the ESPN saying that that version isn't exactly true. However, that is obviously a very intense subject in the world of sports, and it is a situation where you do have, you know, networks that are broadcast partners with the NFL. You have an ongoing news story, which is, I believe, a very important and significant news story with regards to the long-term concussion situation and just overall health care for NFL players. And I think that it behooves anybody who's in the business of sort of covering football to pay attention to it. It's obviously means a huge thing for the NFL Players Association, for retired players, but also for anybody who plays a sport at a youth level. You know, you talk to people who are coaching, not just football, to be honest with you, people who are playing soccer, lacrosse, any kind of, you know, contact sport or sport with potential contact in it. Concussions are a significant issue. I think it's good that people are paying more attention to it. And I know there are varying, you know, conversations about the impact, long-term impact, the risk, that kind of thing, but I think this is not going away. So I think it's important for people who are in the business of covering the sport to, you know, sort of reconcile how they're going to do it.
Some of those retired players you mentioned have sued the league and essentially are claiming that the NFL cares more about its image than about addressing concussions as a problem. What do you say?
You know, again, that's a situation where I feel like there's obviously this ongoing debate, and there is a good deal of medical science that's accumulating in terms of the impact, the long-term impact of concussions and CTE. I do feel that it's broader than just these individual players and its individual lawsuit. It speaks to sort of the heart of what football is, you know, the contact sport and how players are taught. You listen to Trevor talk about the way that he was taught to play football and the way that head, you know, contact, head-to-head contact plays into the game, and not just the big, you know, scary hits that we've gotten accustomed to seeing in highlight reels, sadly, but also just the sort of low-level head-to-head collisions that are just natural part of, you know, pushing around in football. So that all that has to be addressed.
While we're talking about health-related stuff in sports, I've got to ask you, since you're in New York, about the relationship that A-Rod has with, you know, he's essentially been told by the league, get out, but he and his lawyer said, we're not getting out, we're going to fight this. And meanwhile, he's continuing to play, and we saw the other day that his team kind of rallied around him when he got hit by a pitch. But what is the real relationship between both A-Rod and the Yankees and A-Rod and New York baseball fans?
It's a bizarre thing, and you're correct to sort of, like, sketch it out as a series of relationships. You know, you have the relationship between A-Rod and baseball. You know, the relationship between A-Rod and the Yankees as an institution, as a front office, which, you know, seems to be quite poisonous. You had the interview last week with Brian Cashman where he was saying that he and A-Rod barely even talked to each other. And then you have A-Rod and his team. The thing about his team, that seems to be in pretty good shape. The Yankees are playing quite well since A-Rod returned to the lineup, and it's actually created this bizarre scenario where A-Rod is helping the Yankees, which they are kind of dead in the water in the middle of August. They're back in the hunt. And then you have, of course, the situation with baseball, which is not going to go away. Alex Rodriguez has, you know, used his right, and it is his right, to appeal the 211-game suspension. And I think it's perfectly fine that he does that. However, it does create the bizarre circumstance where you have a player who is sitting with a significant suspension hanging over his head playing big games. You know, the Red Sox and the Yankees play 7 games in September. Those are going to be crazy when you consider how nuts the last one was. This is, I wouldn't say it's a nightmare for baseball because, you know, the Yankees being good and Yankees being a hunt in September, you know, everyone kind of likes that. If you love or you hate them, it makes the narrative interesting. But it is an awkward situation.
I've only got a minute left here, Jason, but I know that U.S. Open tennis starts on Monday. My wife and I, both big tennis fans and tennis players ourselves, you play tennis. Will any Americans besides Serena have a shot?
Well, John Isner had a nice run last week in Cincinnati where he reached the final, beating Djokovic and a couple of characters, getting all the way there and losing 7-6, 7-6 in Nadal, which is a good result for him. Isner is, you know, our guy who's close to the top 20. It is not a it is a foul period for U.S. men's tennis. I think you have a situation where Isner could make a run. As you know, if you know the player, you know, he's a big guy. If he gets that serve cracking, he can really make a menace of himself. This is a pretty wide open men's bracket. I don't really have a feel for it. I would think that, you know, in the past years we've had kind of a prohibitive favorite, Murray coming off of Wimbledon last year, Djokovic the years before that. any number of guys. I would say, you know, those top three guys could probably win. Nadal's been playing so well on hard court. Serena, I feel, is the prohibitive favorite on the women's side. I would love to see her do it. I mean, she is probably the most remarkable player in tennis all in, considering.
Yeah, absolutely. And on the men's side, Roger Federer slipped down to the number 7 seed. There's going to be a lot of fun watching this. Jason Gay from the Wall Street Journal and the new Fox Sports 1 show, The Crowd Goes Wild. Thanks for joining me here.
Paul Harris. America Weekend.